Mr. Domina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Dave Domina. I'm here on behalf of Greg Hill, three other Southwest Nebraska farmers, and their class of about 150 other people, a putative class. They are here because of a physical taking of actual existing water. This is a physical, categorical taking case in which they seek just compensation for water they had a prior right to use. They invoke Article 15, Section 6 of the Nebraska Constitution. This is not a regulatory taking case. It's not a Lucas versus South Carolina case, as the state suggests. It's not a Penn Central case, as the state suggests. It's not a Groundwater Management Act case, as the state suggests. And it's not a Republican River Compact case, as the state suggests. This is a lawsuit by Nebraskans against Nebraska under Nebraska law. Nebraska happens to be a state that signed a compact that involves the Republican River. That compact requires that the state adhere to it when it deals with its sister states. It also expressly provides that Nebraska can manage its allocation of its water according to its own internal law as it deals with its citizens. In this case, our complaints allege that Nebraska's water under the compact, part of its 49%, was physically in the stream in 2013 and 14, was physically captured, was above the point where it would be available for use to irrigate our land. We held prior appropriation rights to use that water issued as far back as 1895. Those appropriation rights do not refer to any compact that came along in 1943 and are not conditioned on changes or compliance in a compact that didn't exist.
In regard to those rights, is there any document or rule or any statement of the rights being subjected to superior rights by the state of Nebraska, for example?
No, Your Honor, there is not. We're here strictly on motions to dismiss, as you know, so the entire factual record before you consists of our complaints. We've alleged the dates of those permits. We've alleged that those permits predate the compact and all that followed the compact. We concede, and Nebraska tries to make an issue of this, but we concede that Nebraska has the right to take our water. We contend that it did so for an inferior use based on the priorities for use of surface water under the Nebraska Constitution, again in Article 15, Section 6. We were a prior appropriator, a prior permit holder, and
your argument is the compact is an inferior use, the obligations under the compact are an inferior use?
We don't think there's any question that that is the case, Your Honor, so my answer to your question is yes. Use for the compact is an inferior use, and here's why. Article 15, Section 4 says that the water belongs to the people of Nebraska and is for their beneficial use. And it recognizes irrigation as a priority use. Article 15, Section 5 reiterates that the water is to be used for Nebraskans. Article 15, Section 6 establishes the priorities of use. And they're very simple. First to drink, then to provide food, and then for everything else that is beneficial to people. And that's because we die of thirst before we die of hunger, and we die of hunger if we can't engage in industry and have an economy. So those are the priority uses under the Constitution. Along comes the compact. The compact didn't change our priority rights. The compact does empower the state to take and use water. We don't quarrel with that. But when the water is taken from a prior use that has a superior right under the Constitution, Article 15, Section 6 requires compensation. We're not here for an injunction to prevent the state from doing this again. We're not here arguing the state acted unlawfully. We're here asking for compensation, just as though the state had taken a sliver off the side of our farm to expand a highway. Same concept. In 1890, our state had a highly contested election over water rights. Out of that came the decision to have a new constitutional convention in 1919 and 1920. When that constitutional convention occurred, we added Article 15, Section 4, 5, and 6 to the Constitution, or cleaned them up. So they're that important to us. And what we did in that context was to say, the water belongs to the people. If it's not appropriated, we use it in accordance with these priorities. If there's a permit issued for it, that permit is usable in accord with those priorities. To drink by Nebraskans, to grow food by Nebraskans, to engage in other things, to build them or grow them because we need them for Nebraskans.
I think maybe the state's argument is that the compact comes first, whatever priorities are in statute or constitution for your users comes after the compact water has been removed. What is your response to that?
Your Honor, my response to that iteration from the state, if that's their position, is that that is a fundamentally flawed position for this reason. We are talking about water that is within Nebraska's allocation. We're talking about water that was not necessary to pass through Nebraska to reach Kansas to fulfill Kansas's allocation. This water is within Nebraska's 49%. In paragraph 25 of our 2014 complaint, there are 2 years, two cases before you, we specifically allege that there were 53,875 acre-feet of water in the stream, captured, available for use as irrigation, and within Nebraska's 49%. So when we said that, we took out the entire question about how Kansas fits in. This is Nebraska water under the compact.
Is this a fact in the case or an allegation in the case or a position in the case that the Nebraska was exceeding its share under the compact?
Well, historically, of course, Nebraska has consistently exceeded its share. Nebraska's argument now is, well, we need a margin, so we need to eat into our Nebraska share to be sure that we can satisfy Kansas. Our position is, yeah, you may, but that's not our problem, and it's not done at our expense. If it's Nebraska water, if it's captured in the stream, if we have a permit which gives us a property right to use it, and you decide to take it, Nebraska, you have a right to do that, just like along the road to take to widen the highway. You owe us compensation. That's what we're suing for. Because the alternative, Your Honor, is we're put out of business.
The right to take, the state's right to take in this matter is conceded?
I don't think there's a contest about the state's, if you're asking me, but yes, we absolutely concede that Nebraska has the right to take. Absolutely conceded. We're here strictly for compensation.
So the remedy is the limits of the petition complaint is to remedy the issue. Is that fair to say?
I think it is, Your Honor. We're just seeking compensation for the water taken, and we believe it's measured by the crop that we couldn't produce. And, you know, there's an argument to come about what the measure of damages is, but we're not there yet. But what we're asking for is a money judgment under Article 15, Section 6, because our property right was taken. The water is Nebraska water. Kansas did not use it, or Nebraska did not use it for the compact, did not need it for the compact, and in these 2 years, we've alleged a specific number of acre feet.
What was the mechanism by which the taking was accomplished?
It was accomplished, Your Honor, by physically closing inflows into the reclamation dams in the Republican River basin.
Administrative call that generated that physical closing?
I don't know what, the state may say the answer is yes. What happened is somebody physically went out and shut the inflow, so the water went by. And we don't complain about that regulation. We say that's within Nebraska's right. But when the water went by, that was water we were entitled to use. It was obviously captured over here upstream and available for us. And it was within Nebraska's allocation. Nebraska didn't use it for the compact.
Is it important to know if this was within Nebraska's allocation or if Nebraska had was exceeding at the time of the taking?
Your Honor, it is, I think you touch a point that is fundamental. It's fundamentally important that this 49%, that this water was, number one, within Nebraska's 49% allocation. That's one
and
of
that's
our
an first, allegation.
Well, it's an allegation, and in our complaints we cite what the evidence is, which is the data of the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. We then have to prove that that water was captured or was subject to capture for irrigation purposes, which means it had to be in the stream and upstream from us, which we allege that it was. And we don't just have, you know, superficial sounding allegations in this complaint. I expected we might be here on these meetings. I did some work on it. And so I think we've stated a claim upon which relief can be granted. And we're asking that you reverse, remand, and direct this case proceed. Thank you. I hoped to save 3 minutes for rebuttal. I'm out of time. I may ask for your good graces, depending on what I hear.
Thank you very much. Mr. Levine, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Justin Levine, Assistant Attorney General here today representing the State of Nebraska and the Department of Natural Resources. With regard to the arguments that were just made, I think we need to take one step back. And look at the actual nature of the property right that is inherent in the surface water permits that the individual appropriators hold. So that initial inquiry under our constitutional takings claim in this case is whether the water users own a cognizable property right which was adversely affected by the Department's administration of the river in 2013 and 2014. This property right that they have in the surface water permit is defined by state law. Right to appropriate water is only a right to use. Water is considered a natural want under our Constitution and is dedicated to the public. Appellants do not own the physical molecules of water in the stream. And that is because appellants' right to appropriate the water in its surface water permit, which was granted to it by the state, is basically a conditional use permit that sets forth the terms, conditions, and limitations of their ability to use water. It sets the amount of water they can when they can use it, where they can use it, and what they can use it for. But the surface water permit does not grant them an unqualified right or an exclusive possessory right to possession of the water. And this is because the permit they are granted from the state can be canceled for non-use and also can be denied the use of water when there's times of shortage.
And we find that in the statutes or in case law or where?
We find that in both the Nebraska's Constitution, statutes, and case law, Your Honor. That comes from Spear T. Knopp with regard to the permit itself only being a right to use and not a property right in the water itself, and that there is no exclusive possession of that water underneath their permit.
Is your point if this is not property?
The permit itself depends upon the context of the claim that we're dealing with. And in this claim, this is not a user against user sort of situation, but the context of this claim is a takings claim. What is the physical corpus that we're talking about? There is not one. They do not own the water until they are able to capture it. They cannot capture and use water until the state informs them that there is water available in the stream to use. And so until that determination is made, they don't have any rights to the physical water itself. There is no corpus. There can be no conversion and there can be no taking of that water.
Until there's, you're saying this is all literal. You have to have a race. You have to have a thingy. You have to have water or they have no right?
They have a right to use the water based upon the department's determination that there's water available to use. If I can simplify this and take it outside of the context of the compact for a moment, this is no different than a senior appropriator and a junior appropriator. If a senior appropriator is not getting his water, he will ask the Department of Natural Resources to place a call on upstream juniors and close those rights so that he can get his water. He has a property interest in his priority. He has a property interest in his preference. He has a property interest in the terms and conditions that are set forth in his permit. He has a right to use. Those are the property interests that you hold in the piece of paper that you were granted from the state that says you can use the state's water. What you do not own is a physical corpus of water itself until the department, through its police powers, of regulating the water in the state of Nebraska determines that there's actually water for them to use. And that is simply what is happening in this case.
So this isn't altogether a taking of, not required to be taking of a physical identifiable corpus.
Did you say there's
a property right in your priority, a property right in your preference as described by the limitations in the permit?
Exactly.
Okay, so those are property rights?
Those are property interests, property rights in the permit. It becomes a vested property right.
Okay.
The state
Thank
of Nebraska
you.
Cannot alter the terms of the permit. They cannot change the priority date. They cannot change the preference. They cannot change the amount, time, and or location without due process of law. Those are vested property rights that they grant. They can't even do that by statute. There was a case cited in our brief, I believe it was the Willis case, where the state passed a statute that said, we're going to change all appropriations for irrigation to 3 acre foot per acre. And the court came out and said, wait a second, you can't do that. The individuals that already have their rights, those are vested. You can't alter their permits on what they
can do. And who were the parties there?
The parties in that case were individual irrigators that were being affected, that had permits that would be affected by the statute that was adopted by the legislature. This court said you cannot do that because those rights have already
passed. So does it matter here that we have a property rights individuals versus a state, the state or state entities?
I think that's a very important distinction, Your Honor. And again, it comes down to the point, in this case, that the nature of the property right does not deal with the fiscal corpus. This is unlike land, where you have exclusive possession and use of that property. Here they do not have exclusive use of the water. They cannot use the water until there's a determination by the state that they can use.
Yeah, that's, you've said that I think three times now, and I'm still, when you said it the first time, isn't that exactly backwards? Don't they have the right to divert until they're told not to by the state?
I would say absolutely in most instances. In most basins, that's absolutely the case. In this basin, with regard to the Republican River Compact, the compact itself, the final settlement stipulation, Groundwater Management Protection Act, that sets forth the need of the state to ensure compliance through the integrated management plans that they are supposed to adopt, and the forecast that they have to do prior to January 1st of each year, that forecast is what makes the determination in the Republican River Basin of whether or not water is going to be available for use.
Mr. Domina has characterized this water as being clearly within Nebraska's share. It's not compact water at all. Do you agree with that characterization? And if not, why not?
I don't agree with that characterization, and here's the problem with that argument.
I'm sorry, you do not
agree? I do not agree with that characterization.
Thanks.
And so you have to look at this. You have to look at it within the confines of the compact, because this basin is subject to a compact, of which all the water users in the basin are subject to. And that's the Hinderleiter case. It doesn't matter if you had a water right predating the compact. Everybody's rights are subject to the compact and the terms of the compact.
Is there a tension between the constitutional provisions and the terms of the compact?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Back to your question. The distinction is of whether this is within Nebraska's use, and they want to say that the water is being held and it was available and that we were simply administering, right, without the idea that we were ensuring compliance. The problem with that is that the accounting numbers that are done for compliance are retrospective. We do not know our final numbers for the supply in the basin, the size of our allocation, or the amount of our use until 4 to 6 months after the year is done. That is much different than what is required of the methodologies pursuant to statute and the compact for us to ensure compliance through stream administration during the actual year. This is not a delivery compact. I need to make that clear. We do not have a faucet or a gate that we can open and close to provide water to Kansas. This is a consumptive use compact. All the water, virgin water supply in the basin, is taken into account, but it's from January 1st to December 31st. Precipitation can make a big difference in that throughout the year, but it's also the uses that occur in that basin throughout that year. All those calculations are done retrospectively. In fact, Nebraska's compliance is based upon averaging. It's based on a 2 or 3 year average, depending on if we're water short, meaning there's a low supply in the basin, or a 5 year if we're under normal year administration. So in fact, if you really look at that, within our allocation, you can't just say it's within that certain time frame, because it's not. The state of Nebraska doesn't even know for sure whether it's in compliance until 6 months after the fact. And then we have to take other years into consideration.
I beg your pardon. So you do stuff on your, just based on your algorithms, guesses, and so forth in real time. You take steps prior to actually determining compliance.
You mean to administer for compliance or what we actually...
You're administering prior to all the knowledge.
Right. And so again, this basin is a little bit different because of the compact and requirements under state law and the Groundwater Management Act. We do not actually administer the river in real time as we would with other river systems. In so much as you have a senior appropriator who says, I'm short. You go out and measure the stream. Yes, you're short. Close upstream juniors. Close it. Senior gets his water. It rains. Comes back up.
But you would do that if there was enough water available.
If there was a massive flood in the spring, I believe that our calculations throughout the year would tell us that there would be enough water to ensure compliance. But the whole position here is that the department is mandated to conduct a forecast that's a prospective administration, and that says, look, we're either going to be over-consuming our allocation or under-consuming. And if we're over-consuming, then administration needs to take place immediately.
So if the plaintiff said that's all well and good, you have a right to take it, just pay.
What he says is that it was within our allocation that he would have been able to use it. What I'm telling you is the numbers that he is...
And what's the legal significance of that? You had no property?
Well, you had no corpus. You had no right to the water because the state at that point in time that they were demanding it could
not assure compliance. You had what, an inchoate right that hadn't matured into property?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Until the department makes that determination, their rights to use the water do not come to fruition. And until that time, they simply do not have the ability to use the state's water. And again, the idea that the state would have perfect knowledge during that year in real time is just an absolute misnomer. Again, we don't know what that number is until 6 months after. If you look at the timing of the filing of these complaints, for the 2013 year, the first complaint was filed in June of 14. For the 2014 year, the complaint was filed in October of 2015, almost 6 to 10 months after the fact. Why is that? Because the numbers don't come in, and we don't absolutely know what those numbers are until after the fact.
Because this is in front of us on a motion to dismiss, the additional information that you are providing to fill out the understanding of the process, is that in front of us?
Yes, we briefed that extensively in our briefs with regard to the obligations of the state of Nebraska under the compact that was approved by Congress. The final settlement stipulation includes the accounting procedures, groundwater model, and that was approved by the United States Supreme Court, along with the Groundwater Management Protection Act, that the legislature, through their police powers of the state, sets forth how the mechanisms, how we're going to comply with the compact, then the obligations of the department to actually administer the basin in such a way under the forecasting procedures that are required by the statute to ensure that the state of Nebraska is in compliance with the compact, which necessarily means that we will underuse our allocation.
Is there a proposition of law which makes the plaintiff's complaint not plausible?
Well, simply that they don't have a property interest in the water itself. They only have a right to use. And that the state's general police power over administering the water, the diversion, distribution of that water, is within the state and the NDNR as their primary and original jurisdiction to do. These are highly technical matters. And deference over and over has been given by this court to the decisions of the Department of Natural Resources in matters of water administration.
But as Justice Stacy suggests, we're looking at the complaint which was dismissed. And your position is there's a defect on the face that just can't be cured?
A defect, exactly.
Is that right?
I believe that's what the district court
is. Is your ultimate argument that there is no way that the plaintiffs could ever recover using these arguments?
I believe that is absolutely the case, and that was what the district court found. There's no way. They were already given an opportunity to amend their complaint once, and now the court dismissed with prejudice. They simply cannot appropriate and use the water until the Department of Natural Resources, under its police power granted by the legislature, determines that there is actually water to use. They do not have a right to that. And the state is obligated to ensure that compliance by statute. And we do that through the mechanisms. Again, I want to point out one last thing. To be clear, the plaintiffs are not arguing that any action by the department was arbitrary and capricious. And believe you heard opposing counsel say that. They're not saying that we issued a compact Collier order that was arbitrary. They're not saying our closing notices were arbitrary, that we did not have the legal authority to do so. They say, yes, you did have the authority to do that. So they're not challenging the method or the manner in which we did it, but they're challenging the method. And I set forth to you, the method is prescribed by the compact, by the final settlement stipulation, by statute, by the administrative order just issued by the department. Until they determine that water is available and they can ensure compliance, there simply is no way for them.
And all of this is evident from the complaint?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Domina, we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, first of all, the allegation before you is that all of this water is Nebraska water within Nebraska's 49%. There is nothing contrary to that in the complaint. Secondly, the water in question here is not before you because we contend that the department did something illegal or arbitrary or capricious. We simply contend that the department took water.
Stepping back, I think Mr. Levine's argument is you can't measure the 49% in real time, so it doesn't make any difference what the flow of water was, because that is done over an averaging period of time, and that the department has statutory obligations to take care of, and that's why they issue these orders.
Two answers to that, Your Honor. Number one, to the extent, to the extremely limited extent that the compact averaging provisions have any relevance to this case, their relevance is that they're designed precisely to allow Nebraska to calculate in real time and have the margin of averaging. They didn't do that in 2013 and 14. Instead, they took the water from us, and it turned out they didn't need it because the averaging protected the state. So they're wrong about that. The second thing is the state statutes do not trump the state constitution. We're here on a constitutional claim contending we're entitled to be paid for this water. You have repeatedly recognized that the right to use this water is a property right. It's not a property right conferred by the Constitution subject to the right of a regulatory agency to decide what it will amount to year to year. We got a permit in the 1890s. These people's families bought farms where they did, passed them to their children where they did, go out into the field every spring, as they do, to make a living depending on water. It's their life. That constitutional right is not subject to the Department of Natural Resources' arbitrary decisions or calculated decisions that are simply mathematically inadequate because they don't look at the compact the way the compact permits them to do it. These farmers are entitled to their day in court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned and you are excused.